the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Vice President Harris and former President Trump both on the campaign trail for the first time since their Wednesday debate. Harris will be in North Carolina and Trump will be in Arizona. Tropical storm Francine hitting New Orleans is a Category 2. ABC's Jim Ryan says it's now a tropical storm.
The winds have died substantially, but Francine's torrential rains have brought the ongoing threat of flooding.
Saw water starting to seep in everywhere, and we saw the water coming out from our toilet and our bathtub.
He lives on the southern shore of Lake Pontchartrain. The one known injury resulting from the storm was to a Louisiana state trooper who was hit by a falling tree.
The first ever private spacewalk.
SpaceX's go for spacewalk operations.
Happening this morning, high above the Earth, billionaire Jared Isaacman funding the mission and taking part in the walk with a SpaceX engineer. Three big wildfires continue burning in Southern California. The Bridge Fire, now more than 50,000 acres. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear a lawsuit over the Department of Natural Resources authority to order hazardous materials to be cleaned up. Under Wisconsin's spills law, the DNR holds polluters responsible for cleanup. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce argues the law is unconstitutional. Women and workers of color are still making less than other lower-wage workers in Wisconsin. That's according to a new UW-Madison study.
When you focus on improving the quality of jobs, especially at the bottom of the labor market, you also are looking to close racial and gender gaps in wages, because it is Black and brown and women workers who are dominant in lower wage jobs.
Co-author Laura Dresser says Wisconsin should raise its minimum wage. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth's Denfield High School entered its secure protocol again on Wednesday, about a week after another incident. According to the Duluth Police Department, the protocol was activated when they received reports of a person with a weapon in the area of the school. After investigating, law enforcement authorities determined the call was just a disturbance and the protocol was lifted at the school. The new protocol is a partial lockdown of the school, closing all entrances and exits while allowing classes to continue inside. The St. Louis County Board has given initial approval to the proposed maximum tax levy for 2025. The proposal would increase the tax levy by 7.2%, but county officials assured residents that the jump is below the growth of the tax base, so many homeowners won't see an increase in their taxes at all. They say because there's been so much residential growth, there are more taxpayers to contribute to reaching their goal. The county board will host two public meetings on it, and it must be finalized by the end of the month. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers go from QB1 to QB2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. With Jordan Love out for a few weeks with an MCL sprain, Malik Willis is stepping into the starting quarterback spot in Green Bay. Willis says he's been studying since he arrived in town less than 3 weeks ago.
Just trying to put in as much time as I need to feel comfortable and just make sure that whenever my number is called, I'm ready. Whether Jordan can go or he can't, you know, just try to be ready regardless, because even if he can go, I have to be ready, just as last week, you know.
The Packers play the Colts this Sunday. Each team will be looking for its first win. The Brewers were blown out in San Francisco 13-2 on Wednesday. Milwaukee has lost six of its past nine games, but the Brewers still lead the NL Central by 8.5 games over the Cubs. The Brewers and Giants wrap up their series today. On Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 80s here this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll get you ready for the Packers home opener as they get set to host the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, plus a visit with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
I wish I could play that all the way through. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Calvin, kids arrested, schools closed amid wave of threats after Georgia shooting. There have been countless numbers, Calvin, of threats made by young people after the horrific killing in Georgia. And I don't know when our nation is going to address it, Calvin. What are we doing? Waiting for the next one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's certainly scary and sad. We've seen now body cam footage and I think police house footage of the shooter in Georgia, and there were clearly signs before he did what he did that there was something wrong and nothing was done. So,
you know, as bad as that was, listen to this. The same day a teenager opened fire at rural Georgia high school and killed two teachers and two classmates, a 15-year-old in a neighboring county was taken into custody after fellow students heard him making threats on the school bus about finishing the job. 2 days later, a 13-year-old girl was arrested after threatening to carry out a shooting at her Florida middle school on an Instagram post she later claimed was a joke. On Tuesday, a 12-year-old in Texas was charged with making a terroristic threat, causing public fear after threatening to shoot up the school and showing photos of firearms during a FaceTime call with another student. And on, Calvin, and on. And when are we going to come to Donald Trump has a commercial out. And I'm watching this commercial, and it says, if you vote for Kamala, she's going to take your guns. I don't know if you've seen that yet, Calvin, but she's going to take your guns. And so to sending a message to people that, you know, your guns are in jeopardy of somebody taking them. Nobody's looking to take your guns. When did anybody ever say they're looking to take your guns? It hasn't been said, Calvin.
Yeah, I mean, Kamala Harris even said in the debate on Tuesday that
she's a gun owner.
That her and Tim Walz both own guns. It's, yeah, I don't know. It's certainly something that no other country deals with, so it seems like it should be obvious what the solution is, but we've been dragging our feet on it for 30 years.
Hey, man, you know, the answer, again, is not more cops with guns in the schools. For heaven's sakes, this 12-year-old, so they've got guns in the house. She's taking photos of the guns, and she's on the internet, and she's saying, look at these guns I have here, and, you know, I'm going to do something with them. And so what's the answer to that? Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. How do you rein in these very young people who are so acclimated to guns? And listen, they are rural people and even people who live in cities who hunt. I got friends who hunt. And I got friends who own weapons. But man, their children and grandchildren don't have access to any of that. They're not taking photos of the weapons. If you have a child or a grandchild that you know is taking photos of weapons at these young ages, Calvin, you need to take heed, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we always say, we always hear that, well, the parents need to be held accountable. And I agree, the parents should be held accountable. If your child is making threats or posting pictures of guns on social media, you as a parent should have your guns taken away.
Hey, that's a tough thing you just said, man.
Well, I know, and that's why not everyone should have their guns taken away. People who have demonstrated they're irresponsible with them should have them taken away.
There's no question that in lieu of the way things are today, and the fact that when you know, as you know, these young people who have access to those weapons and who then go ahead, Calvin, and list stuff on the internet. That's the sign right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it's gotten to the point where your child is making threats on the internet, you have made huge mistakes and need to reevaluate what you've done.
Yeah, there's no question whatsoever. And for those of you who are gun owners, and I get it, and Second Amendment people, that don't take this personally. But as long as there are people like Donald Trump and others out there sending messages that you can't vote for her because she's going to take your guns, nobody's looking to take your guns. Man, where have you heard anybody say they're looking to disarm the American people? It hasn't been said, except for Donald Trump and some others who will mislead you to believing that our nation is somehow looking to disarm you. Let me be clear. Some of you need to be disarmed because of the things you've said and done. And your Second Amendment rights need to be suspended. You know why? Because your Second Amendment rights shouldn't endanger the rest of us. Hey, that's just common sense. Your right to own a gun should not endanger those of us who, you know, have done nothing to you. Hey, Sharky from Racine, man, it's good to hear from you. It's good to know you're still around.
Thank you. Top of the morning, and a very important title this morning. We don't hear enough about what H.R. 218 was when Bush, I believe it was Bush Jr., proposed that. And it is law, where officers of law and military in good standings were allowed to have their weapons and obviously in good standing. And I'm not hearing enough about that because, you know, the officers, if they had 20, 30 years, they could be useful. People in the military with common sense were going to be useful. But I'd like to hear more about that, and I haven't heard it. So it was H.R. 218. And you think the callers would want to pick it up and you know, it's not the total answer, but it's part of the answer. And that was the purpose. And so I wonder what they say out there.
So, Sharky, for people who don't know, you're a retired law enforcement officer. And so you got a moment. Let me bounce something off of you. What are your thoughts about people who say, I mean, really, your real thoughts about concealed carry from the perspective of a law enforcement person?
I feel that is very cautious to talk about. When I qualified for HR 218, and I was just, you know, constantly, if I was, you know, basically what it's saying, it's not open carry. It is actually carry, you know, in your pocket, under your holster, under your jacket. But with the ability of non-military, non-officers who are retired in good standing, it's a threat. When this happened in Wisconsin, I felt under threat, and I was more and more cautious and more concerned how I walk through the community, how I think through situations. And it's just too wild in my world. And it's too, you know, thank God that we have good officers in good standing that have retired, military good officers. We have to rely upon them on many different areas. But the Wisconsin, and I can only speak from Wisconsin because I don't travel too far anymore. But I just think it's scary for the people. And, of course, then you talk to the assault weapons. The assault weapons, there's another, a whole different category.
So, Sharky, hang on. Can you hang on a second?
Sure.
All right. 844-967-2789. You know, Sharky, man, it's good to hear from you. Again, a retired law enforcement officer who has the right perspective on this. We're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, concealed carry and all of those different things from the perspective of a retired law enforcement official. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're listening to The Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. Not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one got to know.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I've got my good friend Sharkey from Racine on the line. He is a retired law enforcement officer. So, Sharkey, you know, you're talking about these you know, AR-15s and the fact that, you know, so many people have them, and it, you know, it was tough enough, Sharkey. You correct me if I'm wrong. Before the AR-15 was out as much as it is for law enforcement, when people, you know, had handguns or rifles or those types of things, but what is the inherent danger? Even more so when so many people have access to AR-15s.
Well, you're putting out there a tremendous amount of firepower, long distance carrying of the weapons, the bullet, I should say. Some of these guns are going out to 3,000 feet or more. Multiple shots, multiple capacities. Hunters, you know, in Wisconsin and most a lot of states will say, okay, you'll have a this weapon here. It's a hunting weapon for pheasants, and you have maximum of 5 shots, and that's one thing. So, I mean, the firepower of the ARs and like ARs, the penetration, the obviously carrying, you know, they can pull it out of their trunk, and right there they've got 20, 30 rounds available to them. Now, as an officer, there's a situation there too, is that we have to reflect back on the issue of transportation for officers in the state of Wisconsin, and the 218 law for military and police are allowed to carry their weapons throughout the United States, and but it's their weapon. It's generally going to be the handgun. They don't talk about the AR for the former officers or former military. And there should be some look at that, too. So the NRA, if you can say that word right.
Yes.
I'm very upset with them. They need to do their job, due diligence. They need to bring it back in. Bring the children, teach them respect, again, in the handling of weapons. Not handguns. I would say handguns is very difficult because it's so easy to harm yourself. It's a very dangerous weapon in your hand. But for me, it was, you know, just to think about it, when I was allowed to carry in 50 states, I got to travel with my son in baseball for 4 years. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. But I didn't have to worry about that. But that's the HR law.
So, Sharkey, the last thing I would ask you is AR-15s, this father bought one for his 14-year-old son. I'm sure there are other fathers who bought AR-15s for their sons. What would you say to fathers who are buying these guns for their teenage sons, AR-15s?
I would rather give them my car, I think, you know.
Yeah.
A car is just as dangerous, okay? Put them in the car. But here's the point. You know, as a child starts getting older, you know, father, son, mother, son, you like to shoot it in a capacity of respect, what these things can do, what they have done, and how dangerous to themselves, how dangerous to others. And, you know, I really think we need to really get after this and making sure that we can protect, you know, our children. The parents should be really be, you know, again, held accountable. And I'm seeing that across the board, a lot of across the board. And so we could use our officers in the schools, the military in the schools. But again, you have to be vetted. I have to run the same course as a former officer to carry my gun once a year, and I have to do the same shots that the officers do on the range. I just got done qualifying here in Racine.
So let me ask you this. You and are a qualified marksperson and so you had to prove that in order to carry your weapon. The average person does not. How does that make any sense?
It certainly doesn't. And again, NRA, get your job going. And again, the weapons, you know, I sit here every day thinking about the Kenosha situation. For the life of me, that one hurt to watch that happen with Rittenhouse.
Right.
That one really, really hurt. And we have to do better. And I'm with the right people. I'm out here trying to work with getting our situation, our world here, our country, our states. I'm working with the right people. We have good, honest people out there. They have to come to religion here. I'm just kidding with the term of the religion. But they need to, officers like myself should get out there in seminars, and the military, responsible military, should be talking this too. Because the guns are way out of control.
Hey, Sharkey, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Julie from Jackson. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Sharkey, for your being a policeman and, you know, protecting all of us. And I'm sure it's not easy when you know there's people walking around with guns. I agree with Calvin. It's got to start at home. These parents are going to be held accountable. And it was obvious that the kid down in Georgia had issues. The dad knew he had issues. Why would you buy a kid that has issues a gun? Why didn't you take him to therapy? Why didn't you do something? So the other thing is, Earl, when we were kids, okay, so the Columbine was kind of the first school shooting in the 90s. Before that, we never had school shootings, but people had guns. So what's the difference? Is it the social media that the kids have now that it's just too hard for them to deal with when they're being bullied and it's all on social media and constant? I don't know.
Hey, Julie, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on the phone lines, 844 967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest Marquette poll is trending for Kamala Harris. She leads Donald Trump by 4 points among likely voters. The race was dead even a month ago. Poll director Charles Franklin.
These changes are all inside that margin of error. But having said all of that, other things look like Harris is in a little bit better shape this time than last time.
The poll was taken before Tuesday night's debate. Meanwhile, Tammy Baldwin has a 5-point lead over Eric Hovde among likely voters in the U.S. Senate race. Wisconsin school superintendent is running for re-election. Jill Underly says her priorities are getting more money for underfunded schools, reforming literacy education, and improving mental health support. No other candidates have announced yet. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Superior Police Department has introduced a new dog to the force, but this one has a different job than the others. Mayor Jim Payne and the department's new therapy dog in training named Millie visited Bryant Elementary School on Wednesday. Mayor Payne says Millie's job is to provide emotional support to people who may be nervous about interacting with law enforcement authorities or have been the victim of a crime. Millie is just a puppy and is still in training, but will eventually work alongside a community service officer. Ascensia Health officials have announced the organization will stop accepting Medicare Advantage insurance plans through United Healthcare and Humana at the end of the year. Officials say the insurance organizations have been delaying or denying care approvals for patients at a far higher rate than other insurance providers, limiting their ability to provide the care their patients need. Ascensia Health is notifying all affected patients, and they're sharing other in-network providers with them ahead of open enrollment this fall. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A judge in Michigan ordered Sean Diddy Combs to pony up $100 million to a man in Michigan for a sexual assault. The man claims Combs drugged him and molested him at a party. Lee Cardello Smith was a bartender who says the last thing he remembered was Combs handing him a drink before he passed out. Cardello is currently in prison for crimes similar to Combs, as well as kidnapping. That Sean Combs is incorrigible. Okay, ridiculous cuteness alert. Travis Kelce and his girlfriend, also known as Taylor Swift, performed together at the U.S. Open. It all happened while watching tennis from the stands. First, there was the requisite canoodling while matches were being played. Then during a break, the Darks' I Believe in a Thing Called Love came on. The couple seemed to sing the song while serenading each other and dancing. Hopefully, for the sake of those sitting close by, Kelce was just lip-syncing. Aren't they just the cutest? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 80s here this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Waterworld, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will dive into the Marquette University Law School polling, plus special guest host Earl Ingram Jr. Don't miss it.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hasta la vista, baby. We'll be right back.
Hey, Calvin, why don't you remind me I got a radio show to do? All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I bet you guys don't know that I never listen to music when I'm not in the studio. The only time I ever listen to music is when I'm here every morning. But anyway, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, and that's why I enjoy it so much. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Yeah, we're talking about the scourge of, you know, weapons and guns and children making threats, and we got to do better. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Loving life, man. Thank you for taking my call, as always. You know, I was fascinated by your conversation with a retired law enforcement official from Racine. It reminds me of, you know, when the liberalization of all these weapons of war became in vogue. Years ago, we organized a meeting with police officers, and I talked to a couple of police chiefs independently. Every one of the police officials that I talked to were very uncomfortable and very nervous with this.
Yes.
Public access to such horrible weapons. They feel that every time, you know, they're walking down, you know, that dark alley and they're looking into a crime or something, that they're going to be outgunned. So all of a sudden, you know, it becomes an escalation in its own way. And every single police officer, every single police chief that I've talked to, and I'm guessing there's well over 100 total, none of them like it. None of them support easy access to weapons of war to untrained, unqualified individuals. None of them. So when you're walking up, picture yourself a police officer walking up to maybe a crowd, maybe it's a confrontation or something. Do you think maybe you're going to be a little bit quick to pull that revolver out of your holster and start shooting because of your fear of, you know, you have to be first? You know, you can't be second to respond. So, you know, this easy access to weapons of war is such it's anti-American, I believe. I think it's horrible to put our police officers in a position to where they are in fear of being outgunned. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, Mike, it's not just the law enforcement. It's the average everyday citizen where you can't, some crazed person has access to a weapon in schools. So, you know, it's really, I'm kind of happy that we're having this discussion because next week I'm going to be joined in studio by the chief of police for the city of Milwaukee, Jeffrey Norman. He's going to be here in the studio with me, and we're going to have a conversation from the perspective of a chief of police of one of the largest cities in the state. Yeah, it is true, Mike. Is it that the person, the individual's Second Amendment rights is more important than the safety of the rest of us, Mike?
That's a no-brainer, of course. But again, this is what happens when you have one group, one party that is hell-bent at whatever, superiority, totalitarianism, if you will. They want this divide and conquer. They embrace conflict, and so yeah. I'm very much looking forward to your conversation with the police chief, and please ask him that same question.
I'll certainly give you a chance because he's going to take calls. Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan. Good morning to you, Brendan from Jersey.
Good morning, Earl. Let's start with the bastardization of the Second Amendment and what it was really intended for and now what it's become. Laws like stand your ground laws, like in Florida, where you can just shoot somebody because you're standing on a piece of ground and you feel intimidated or threatened. The amount of ammunition they'll allow people to buy. Look at the guy down in Kentucky who shot all those people on the roadway. Now, luckily, I think they all made it through, but I don't think they found this guy yet. He had ex-military. He was able to buy 1,000 rounds with an AR-15. That is ridiculous, okay? Qualified immunity for officers. You know, the gentleman on the phone earlier talked about people being qualified. We've got officers running around out there that just have not received enough training and shoot and ask questions later. And it's not all cops, because there's a lot of good cops out there. And sometimes cops, just out of fear, like the other caller had said, are trying to protect themselves so they can go home at the end of the day. But there are so many guns out there, it's ridiculous. Loopholes in gun show laws.
Yes.
No cooling off period before you buy a weapon. Gun manufacturers being totally immune from any lawsuits. Okay, that's just a few of the things that we need to clean up in this mess. But the fact that when I was in the military, I was a 12 Bravo, and at the end of the day, if you were in an exercise with your M16, you had to sign it back in, turn it into a locked-up gun shack to the guy that ran it. But now we got people that just have them sitting on their living room table like it's nothing.
Hey, Brendan, isn't that insane? A trained military guy has to turn his weapon in, not being trusted by the military. You know, they're not going to take any chances. But in our society, they're everywhere, man. You know, they're like your bowling balls, right? People have them everywhere. And nobody really, you know, does their due diligence to make sure that that's taken care of. Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Great stuff, man. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. Everyone get out and register to vote and get ready to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and everyone up and down the ticket. Why can't we make gun safety, because that's what I took when I was I think 11 years old or something like that. I took, in Wisconsin, I took hunter safety. So again, we need to continue to call this gun safety because that's what it is. But second, why can't we treat it like we treated cars? Years ago, cars were killing people on the roads. So therefore, and they were used as a weapon almost. And what happened was then we got, you know, where you have to have a driver's license, you have to have liability insurance, you have to have collision insurance, you have to have you know, your car registered, all those different things. They could do the exact same thing with guns, and the whole world would be so much safer, and everyone would know exactly, you know, where that gun's coming from. And you know, it just seems to me like it's common sense.
But Tom, there wasn't a counterpart to the NRA for automobiles. We know exactly why we're facing what we're facing and why the blood and the carnage won't stop. And it's something called the NRA. All right, Tom. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I just said money in politics.
Yes.
Get money out of politics. We have to actually, Nancy Pelosi put together H.R. 1. Which was the whole idea of getting money out of politics when, you know, a few years back. So we just need to make sure that, you know, we get money out of politics, but we need to put this like it is. And I would think the insurance lobby would be really happy to have new, you know, liability insurance that's coming in that would help their business.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Lynn. Hey, good morning, Lynn from O'Connell. Good morning to you, Lynn. You say what?
My husband was a retired Milwaukee police officer after Chief Breyer retired. I believe the mandatory off-duty carry was lifted. Off-duty and after he retired from working for the police department, he worked for the DA's, county DA's office, and my husband would not carry his gun while he was delivering subpoenas, nor would he carry his gun off duty. He said you would be expected intervene if you in a precarious situation, if you had your gun on you, you would feel more
more apt to get involved.
Exactly. And if there was an intervention, he said, you could be personally sued. So he avoided and tried to diffuse situations.
You know, but your husband was a police officer, a trained person. We're talking about average citizens who have access to these guns who don't have any of that. Lynn, they're not trained. They just can buy them.
Right. And after we started caring for my grandson, our grandson, he got rid of all of the guns and all the ammunition. Because kids will take a hammer and pop a bullet.
You know, thank you very much for that information. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Oh, good morning to you. I personally don't really understand this, and you know that I worked as a civilian worker for the Milwaukee Police Department years ago, but I had a requirement that after Sandy Hook, I had to take a seminar with the people who work Sandy Hook. I just want people to understand that if you support the blue, if you support the police officers, you would want to keep these weapons off the street. But just, you know how I am with data. 26 people died at Sandy Hook that day. And 20 of them were children, and they were ages from 5 to 8 years old. There were 154 rounds that were fired from that AR-15 and in 4 minutes. That meant for every minute, 38 bullets passed through that weapon. And that weapon is a military grade weapon. And it's not like you're shooting a bullet from a rifle. That weaponry is marked or produced so that it tears through the flesh and tears through the bones. So you can imagine what was left of these children. So people, think about what you're putting on the street.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. And so Wednesday, the 25th of September at 8 a.m., Chief Jeffrey Norman of the City of Milwaukee, Police Chief of the City of Milwaukee, will be joining me in the studio. Hang on, guys, on the phone lines. I'm coming to you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So, you know, the fact of the matter is, I read, you know, out of the article that precluded us having this conversation about children 12, 13, 15 years old who have made threats to finish the job. And so these children are comfortable enough around firearms that they know where they are, taking photos with those firearms. They're 12 through 15 years old. What are we doing? Well, you know, you see the commercials that are out. Donald Trump's latest, one of his latest commercials, Kamala Harris wants to take away your guns. And it's an alarming commercial. She wants to disarm you. Well, come on, man. Come on with that, man. That's not what that is. And in some instances, people need to be disarmed. I can tell you, one of my best friends, you know, he makes AR-15s. He loves it. He's a responsible guy. He's a gun trainer, licensed. He trains people. He educates them. He's responsible. Everybody who has these weapons aren't responsible. So if you're not responsible, you shouldn't have one. I'm sorry. Constitutional right notwithstanding. If you don't know, if you aren't going to be responsible and those around you, let me be clear. It's you. You purchased it. You are the person who should be responsible for it, not your children. Calvin, am I right or wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's completely right. You have to be 18 to purchase a firearm. So if a child has a firearm, it's the parent's responsibility.
Yeah, and if the child gets a hold to your firearm, that's on you. And if you become so lax with your firearms that your children can get access to them, you make it difficult for all the rest of us. I don't own a gun. Okay? I don't. I'm going to die without ever owning a gun. But then I shouldn't be so fearful that somebody else carrying a gun who has access to it, you know, is going to take my life. I choose not to participate like almost 50% of the other Americans. Hey, Karina, how you doing?
So, yeah, I heard that too, and I heard it from my neighbors, and it was a group of men standing and talking about it. But the scary part, one of the scariest part, that they taking it literally. They saying Trump told us that this is what they first thing that they the Kamala Harris is gonna do. They should take the guns away. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is the Second Amendment. Nobody is taking guns away. Oh, well, we're not going to wait like you did, waiting for abortion to be taken away. We're taking it to the streets.
Yes.
So now you know you did it wrong by taking abortions away. You use the fact that the females are not coming out on the streets to shut somebody, yet you're going to do exactly this.
You know, Karina, the inherent danger in it is that there are people who take literally what Donald Trump is saying. And that's why when he puts those commercials out, or not commercials, what do you call those things, Calvin?
Social media posts?
No, well, on television where he's...
Oh, attack ads?
Yeah, attack ads. The attack ads that he has out there. And they're playing them over and over and over. And as you stated, Karina, there are people who are taking that in. Those men that you heard, multiply that. You know, so again, licensed gun owners, responsible. But even the licensed gun owners, if somebody buys 1,000 rounds of ammunition, they should be questioned. What do you want with 1,000 rounds of ammunition? I mean, what can you say? Calvin, what can you say? You know, I'm asking you, you buy the weapon, you coming in, I want 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Shouldn't I ask you why?
I can't think of a scenario where you would need that much. If you're going to target shoot, I mean, even if you were there shooting all day practicing, that's still going to be a few hundred rounds at most. Yeah. And hunting, you're a really, really bad shot if you need that many bullets.
Well, I know guys who told me they've got 10,000 rounds of ammunition. What are you doing with 10,000 rounds of ammunition?
Well, unfortunately, I think they're probably stockpiling
for some
mysterious circumstance.
All right. I want to thank everybody. Thank you, Calvin. Thank everybody who made the show go. I want to always thank my good friend, Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, and more than anything else, you, the listening audience, who continue to listen. I'm so thankful and grateful about that. Be safe. Enjoy the weather. 80 degrees and sunny. No humidity. Up next, Jane Matinere and Greg Bach, Matinere on Air. I'll be back in the 4 o'clock hour on the Dominic Sylvia show this afternoon. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show at 11:33, he joins us every other Thursday. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, joins us to talk all things sports balls. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.